we record it so that people can go to my website and listen to it at another time in the event that maybe they're showing space right now.
Great. Well, my daughter is anxious to listen to the replay. I told her to study for her exams and quit thinking about things that she didn't need to think about right now.
And is she graduating from Cornell?
Next year. Yeah.
And
I read on the website she
wants to be a journalist or a writer.
Yeah. Yes, I would say that's probably although we never know, right?
You never know.
She's had some interest. Last summer it was in the Southern District with Judge Berman, who was one of the federal judges, and they had all kinds of interesting cases in New York last summer, from the Russian spies to the Times Square bombers, right? So she's pretty creative at getting out there.
There you go. Okay, well, it's 12 o'clock. I like to start on time. So I am so grateful and thank you so much for giving us some of your time. I have on the call today Duane Stiller. He really probably needs no introduction, since I know the people that have signed up to listen, and most of you know Duane. But a couple of things you may not know about Duane is he started out as an engineer. He has his engineering degree from Cornell. Currently, Duane and Wilbright, he's the CEO of Wilbright Development Corporation. They have approximately 25 centers throughout Florida, and he shared with me that they're looking at quite a few more to take on. And his daughter, I learned on the website today, is an aspiring journalist and writer. So obviously, since her father reads over 100 books a year, I was not shocked when I read that. And one of the things that I really loved on the website was the tagline that Wilbright has a tireless passion for improvement. And I think that line, along with you reading over 100 books a year, I thought I read a lot until you told me that. So I thought we could jump in. How I got Duane to agree to do this today is he stopped me at an ICSE, I don't know, about a month ago, and said, you know, he loved the book club, and he said, you know, I haven't had a chance to call in. And he said, you might not want me to because I'll monopolize the conversation, which, of course, you know, I have no problem turning over the microphone. And then he said, you should really do the book, The Instant Millionaire, which I had not heard of. And I said, okay, let me read it, and, you know, and I'll email you. So I read it. I liked it. And I emailed Duane, and I said, why don't you come on the call and share with us what you liked about the book, and he instantly agreed. So I thought we could just jump in, and I have about 5 or 6 questions for Duane. He'll discuss the book, and, you know, I just want to remind everyone we're recording the call. You guys can ask questions at the end, and just like last month, I'm going to give away 3 books for next month's call. So if you're on the call, email me now, and we'll be picking at the end of the call the first 15th and 30th people that email me, and I'll give away the 3 books and announce next month's book. So on to Duane and The Instant Millionaire. So, Duane, you told me, you suggested that we read this book, and you know I shared with you that 70 to 80% of the participants on the calls are leasing agents. So give us your perspective of why you thought this book would be a good read for our fellow leasing agents.
Great. Well, thank you, Beth, for letting me join with everybody today on this call. It's a great pleasure, a great honor. Reading is my passion. I've been a lifelong learner as well. And so The Instant Millionaire is one of those foundational books, one of those books where you can capture a few of the most basic sort of rules or laws of nature that will help you succeed in business and in your personal life. And it's a story about a guy who is stuck. A guy who's stuck in his job, he's stuck in his career, he's miserable, and he's looking, like so many of us, for the secret for success, the secret to make $1 million, to get, which is what he thinks will put him at the pinnacle of accomplishment. And so Beth, you know, as I read this book, or I read the first time, and you know, you've made me think back when I was leasing space for my dad. You know, how could I, as a leasing person, make $1 million? I'm looking in my checking account right now, and this has been a tough couple of years. Doesn't look like I'm ever going to make $1 million. But the book teaches us some very simple rules, and we'll get into those a little bit more in a minute. But one of them was to establish a set of goals, and like a guided missile, your subconscious will help guide you to those goals. And so I,
Dwayne,
is it lost?
Hello, Dwayne.
Got me now? Hello,
Dwayne. Are you here?
Yeah. Well, I'm here.
Okay. You're back. So go ahead. You're talking about established goals, and your subconscious
right.
will guide you.
So let's think I'm a leasing agent, and I want to make $1 million in the next 5 years. I want to be a millionaire in 5 years. That's a lot of what this book talks about. Well, if I could go out and lease 10,000 feet more this year than I leased last year, and I could double it every year, so do 20,000 feet next the year after, do 40,000 feet more the following year, 80,000, 160,000 feet. Over 5 years, I would have leased 300,000 feet. I got to do what I did in the last 2 years, but I got to do this additional stuff. I've got to grow because this book is about growth. It's about a journey. And I would have leased 300,000 feet, and if I was paid just $3 a foot, I'd have, or $3.33, I'd have $1 million in the bank. So So it starts out by taking simple steps. A lot of this message is in this book. So the first step is just to focus on how do I lease 10,000 feet more this year than I did last year. And that's going to lead you towards $1 million. And when I think back, Beth, to 1992, I had just one goal. How could I get an investor so we could buy one project from the RTC? It wasn't about how do we buy 10 projects? How do we become the next Kimco? It was about how do I get one thing done? And for leasing agents, the $1 million message will be how do I lease 10,000 more feet?
So let me ask you. So you're, I think everyone on the call sees you as a huge success. I do. Obviously, we've all had our ups and downs in the last 3 years. I've given a project back. You know, we've all had our ups and downs. My question to you is, and in December, you may not be aware of this, but many of the people on this call, I did a webinar about setting goals. And anyone that knows me or any of my former team members know I'm a huge believer in goal setting. So my question to you is, do you do goals and do you write them down?
Absolutely. I mean, if you learn anything from this book, the reason it's one of my foundational books, is this book is largely about setting goals and the power of setting goals. So for me, I have long-term financial goals. I have, and those span sort of 10 years. Where do I hope Fulbright is 10 years from now? And I outline what's it look like in year one, year two, year three, so on and so forth. Just like I described a moment ago, the example of how if I just leased 10,000 feet more this year and did more in the following years, I could have $1 million. So I have long-term financial goals, portfolio goals. What are we going to do with the 25 projects that we're involved in now? And those break it down into, you know, individual asset plans. What are we going to do with the Wakaiva project? What are we going to do with London Square? What are we going to do with Glaze Plaza? And so on. And then we have acquisition goals. You know, Beth, one of the things that is unique about Fulbright is we do a lot of homework. And I remind everybody, if you want to succeed, you got to be willing to do your homework. And our homework is visiting all 2,500 projects once a year that are the centers over 50,000 feet in the major metros. And from an acquisition standpoint, when we go to each and every project, we ask ourselves, would this be a good project to own? And if so, we try to get to know the owner and we try to find a way to own that project. I describe that as quite similar to if I started the year out and had a yearbook, who might I take to the prom? And I'd have to the plan up, you know, starting with the A's through the B's to the Z's, who were all the people I needed to get to know throughout the year before I could really have a chance at doing that. The acquisitions for us are the same way. And so we begin every year knowing exactly which properties we'd like to own, as if we thought, so, you know, knowing that only 1 out of 10 of those will sell, but it's helped along by asking. And we have retailer goals. And there's 400 retailers that we're national chains that we're very interested in doing business with. As Recon comes up, we want to make sure that we are consistently connecting with the decision makers. And so we have a pretty unique system of dividing up those 400 retailers amongst the 10 agents at Woolbright. And in a balanced way, we make sure that we're not going to the same person 3 different times. So we have lots of goals, Beth, lots of things written down. I think about these goals, you know, daily. I have a period of time where I like to reflect. I like to sort of quiet my mind and listen to my inner compass and get some, you know, hear about the opportunities that might be right in front of me that I'm walking right past. And then I review these bigger project plans and action plans and goals weekly. And then I do a lot of getaways, Beth. There are a lot of, you were asking me before we started this call, where were you the last few days? And there's a picture that I circulated on Facebook of me sitting on the Swami Rock in upstate New York in the middle of nowhere. My daughter asked me, how'd you take a picture of yourself? There's nobody around. I said, I got the app with the 10-minute delay on the camera. But, you know, we need time to reflect. Howard Gardner, a famous Harvard psychologist, who analyzed what made extraordinary people successful, one of the 3 most important things they did were those extraordinary people took time to reflect. And so having these goals and reflecting upon them regularly is a requirement. Now, another secret thing is that I spend about 6 to 8 weeks out of every summer outside of Florida in a little cottage built in the late 1800s in upstate New York. My study is a 6-by-9-foot room. The Victorian cottages had these small rooms. It's a pretty bland place, but it's a great place to go and reflect. And if that always brings me back for the next year renewed with a much clearer insights about where to go. And I think all of us, we don't need to go away 6 or 8 weeks, but we do need to spend a considerable time reflecting. And I think that, in the Instant Millionaire, you certainly got a sense that the millionaire was teaching the young man who spent a lot of time in the Rose Garden was taking considerable time to reflect and not always be busy in the daily activities.
Right, because I agree. I think that I find young leasing agents, you know, after a year, if I sat down with them and did their goals, you know, find that they didn't take their week off for vacation or their 2 weeks. And I would say you need to do that. You need to get away. You need to go to different parts of the country if you can, and keep your eyes open and talk to friends in different industries because, you know, you do learn so much. You know, the other thing that you said is sometimes you quiet your mind just during the day so that the opportunities that come your way, you're open enough to understand and be aware. Because if you're so busy so often, you know, 24/7, you're going to miss opportunities. And they talk about it in the book that if you subconsciously you have these goals and they're in your mindset, that you've got to also keep your mind open and be aware. So when an opportunity comes your way, you can recognize it and seize it. I can hear the people on the call screaming at me, even though they're not. They're very busy. How do they fit all of this in? I can't imagine how you fit reading in 100 books a year. Now, maybe during those 6 or 8 weeks during the summer, you read 80 of them.
Yeah, Beth, I think there's a great book by Seth Godin called The Dip. And The Dip is about how to get through tough times, but it's also about learning the things you need to quit in order to be successful. The average person spends 3 to 4 hours a day watching TV, and more often than not now, a like amount of time surfing the internet. So if you're going to want to read 2 books a week or 100 books a year, there's enough hours in the day to earn a living. Watch TV 3 or 4 hours a day, surf the internet 3, 4 hours a day, put in that right amount of exercise and so on, and spend time with your family and friends. And so you're going to have to learn what it is you're going to have to quit. So I never watch TV except for the rare occasion like last night when I wanted to see the Heat game. So
the Heat
TV
game.
Just was,
yeah, go Heat.
The TV was just one of those things I had to decide I was going to quit. And that immediately gave me a couple of extra hours a day. And I chose to use, you know, one of those, an hour and a half of that every day, a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night, and my goal was to read 100 pages a day. So I made a very conscious decision to trade off TV for books. And, you know, you got to remember in the One Minute Manager, in the Instant Millionaire, in the final chapter, when the will is read of the millionaire, he leaves the young man only one thing, his collection of books. And you know, that's fitting of all the possessions the millionaire had to leave this young man, the one thing that he felt he could leave them was the knowledge gathered in those books. You know, one of my favorite books of all time is a book written by Mortimer Adler called How to Read a Book. Mortimer Adler was the founder of the Encyclopedia Britannica. He was the editor of the great books of the Western world. He was the head of the philosophy department at Columbia. He started the Aspen Institute, which is a brilliant collection of thinkers. And so, you know, here we have a chance through books to have the greatest minds of history, from Plato, Aristotle, to Freud, to whoever is the latest politician you're interested in. You can have a conversation with them through their book. And the messages that they have for you are still very much alive, and they're there for you. It's just up to you to choose to make the time to read those books. And that time, Beth, is going to come quitting. You have to pick stuff.
If someone's in a car or outside, if you could mute your phone, I'd appreciate it. So one of the things that the millionaire talks about to the young man is positive affirmations or self-talk, because, you know, he says again and again that the greatest limitation that stops us from achieving success and achieving our goals is negative self-talk. So my question to you is, you know, a lot of people say, oh, that's hocus pocus, you know, I don't do that, that's, you know, cuckoo stuff. So does Dwayne Stiller do aspirations or positive self-talk or any of that stuff?
You know, Beth, I wake up every day and say, I'm thankful this is going to be a great day, that I have an opportunity to be here. So I'm a big believer in positive aspirations. You know, every year I go to Europe and I ride my bike on the toughest mountains that all the professional racers do. One of those mountains is Mount Ventoux. It takes you about 4 hours at about 160 heart rate to get to the top of the mountain. And in Florida, you don't really get to train for that because everything is flat. The first time I go to do this, I'm pretty miserable because we had finished two or three of the mini bars in the room the night before in partying. And so I was really hungover, never climbed this kind of climb. The Belgian guy, this heavyset guy that drives the van to pick up all the people that can't make it up the hill, kept riding alongside me and rolling down the window. And in this heavy Belgian accent, as he rolled another one of his hand-rolled cigarettes, this guy named Yost would yell out the window, "You can do it, Dwayne. You can do it, Dwayne." As he would pass on in that van, I just kept repeating over and over to myself, "You can do it, Dwayne. You can do it, Dwayne." And magically, Beth, you know, as we pass the tree lines, I'm 3 hours in the climb. There's no more trees. There's snow on the ground. The winds are picking up to 70 miles an hour, and I just kept repeating over and over, you can do it, you can do it. And the power of words are incredible. You know, we get to wake up every day, and in addition to choosing what outfit we're going to get to put on, we get to choose our attitude. And the stories that we want to play in our mind, we get to choose those as well. And it is so easy to replace a negative story with a positive story. And it's easy to tell yourself, I mean, those simple words, those simple five words, you can do it, Dwayne, was all it took to get me up the toughest mountain that any of the Tour de France riders will get up. And those are sufficient words for anyone on this call to get through the toughest times that they're going to encounter, the toughest projects. It's incredibly powerful. And we have to remember, as they tell us in the book, you know, to lose happiness is to lose everything. And I think that our attitude is so much about whether or not we're going to be happy or not. And I think that we get to choose that. And I like to end every day with making a brief recording of what it is I was grateful for. So I like to begin every day with the right message. This is going to be a great day. I'm getting better and better, as they say in the book. And then recapping every day about the things I'm grateful for. There's an email service called Happy Rambles, and you can sign up for it at happyrambles.com, and I'll send you an email every evening. Hey, what are you grateful for today? And by the way, here's some things you wrote about in the past. And we know that the psychological studies that for people that do keep journals and do record regularly the things they're grateful for, those people are genuinely report that they're happier than people that don't use that simple step.
Yeah, I do that with my boys, my 10 and 8-year-old. Every night we say, you know, what was the one thing you were grateful for today? And, you know, it's great because it makes them, you know, we all live in crazy worlds full of materialism, and there's a lot of opportunity to be a complainer, or, you know, woe is me, or what do I not have? And I building that habit of what are we grateful for, I think is so important from the little ones in our lives to us. And, you know, I just 2 weeks ago read to my 8-year-old, or, you know, he read to me, The Little Engine That Could. So I when you were telling me the story about the bike and the guy in the van, I was thinking that because, you know, just a great, like you said, having a phenomenal attitude or a good attitude, you can conquer any obstacles, you know, in life if you have a good attitude. And I loved in the book where they talked about just living in the present. You know, I counsel and consult with and coach a lot of leasing agents, and a lot of them are in the early part of their career. And, you know, if they're not worrying about what happened last, you know, nervous or upset or depressed about what happened last week, they're worried about what's going to happen next week. And I'm constantly telling them, let's focus on today. What are we going to get done today? Because at the end of the day, I want you to look back and send me an email that I accomplished these three things and I'm proud of it. Because the past is gone, the future's not here. So, you know, you got to live in the present. That's how we're going to attack and seize opportunities. Before you comment on that, I wanted to make another announcement. All of you guys that added came on recently on the call, email me. I'm giving away next month's three of next month's books to the first, 15th, and 30th people that email. Josie will let me know who they are. So send me your email that you're on the call. We're on with Dwayne Stiller talking about The Instant Millionaire. So, but living in the present, I think, is so important, because I think people get caught up in, you know, what did they not do right last week, or their fear of the future. Any thoughts about that?
Well, you know, Beth, I mean, this book teaches you three foundational elements, and the first most important element is that so many of the limitations that we believe are holding us back are self-imposed, and that it's important. The book tells us to gain the awareness of the things that you believe is all you're capable of doing, and it wants you to quote, you know, expand your mental limits because they will expand the limits of your life. And the takeaway from the book in that particular element for me was when the young man was seated with the instant millionaire, and the instant millionaire said to the young man, "You want to be a millionaire one day, but let's begin with how much money are you going to make next year?" And the young man thought about it for a minute, and he wrote down that he wanted to make $50,000 the next year. He was only making $30,000 in this miserable job he was in now, and that was his goal. And the millionaire challenged him and said, if you write that number down, that's going to be a self-imposed limit. Why choose $50,000? Why not choose to make $100,000 next year? And the young man hemmed and hawed, and he crossed out the $50,000, and he put his goal at $75,000. And the millionaire complimented him and said, "Now look, you just made $25,000 more than if you had imposed this $50,000 limit." So be aware, this book teaches us to be aware of when we're writing down our goals. I often ask my students when I'm lecturing them, a class I teach at Cornell, how far could you run? And they all take out their 3x5 card they give out. So many of them remind me, hey, this isn't supposed to be a class with tests. It's supposed to be a seminar. They write down, I say, how far could you run? And some people write 3 miles. Some people write down 1 mile. Maybe somebody's really good and they write down, 15 miles. And Beth, I haven't read in the newspaper lately where anybody was, not me, very often, where people are dying of having run too far. But so many, I was willing to bet that if there was some big animal chasing anybody in that room, they could probably run about twice as far as what they had written down on that piece of paper. And so one of the most important things to take away from this book is to be aware of how many limitations there are in you that you've specifically established. Secondly, we talked about the whole notion of setting goals. And we learn from so many books, with Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, the importance of beginning with the end in mind and having a clear, purposeful, well-defined description of where it is you want to be. And as specific as possible, include, the book suggests, include plans, include charts. I used to put pictures of the kinds of things that I wanted to have one day. And then as the book reminds, it's like a guided missile. We'll find a way to get to that target. Our unconscious will guide us. And the third thing that I take from this book that's clearly a foundational item is the whole notion of that you can strengthen your mind, that like building your heart stronger through cardiovascular exercise, you can make your mind stronger through choosing the right attitude, having periods of time to reflect, to listen to your inner voice, developing a sense of calmness, as you suggest, living in the presence, having powerful, positive self-images, and the more powerful you can make your mind more powerful, you can make it stronger over time, and the book begins to hint at how that journey might unfold. So knowing your limitations and stretching beyond those things, having your clear goals, and beginning to strengthen your mind, if you can get those three things right in life, you're not only millionaire, is just the start of where your potential is. I mean, you could do so many great things. And Beth, for me, that's why I told you that this book was really a must read, because you needed to, everybody needs those three foundational elements.
Absolutely. I a couple of the things that I loved in the book is when he said, "Do you think that someone making $300,000, he was making $35,000, and he said, "Do you think someone making $350,000 is working, 10 times the amount of hours that you are, like 500 hours a week? Of course not." I loved that. I loved when they talked about, if you were trying to get a job and you wanted to make X amount and your boss is getting ready to hire you and they're like, "Yeah, well, just come whenever you want and we'll pay you something." And that goes back to the setting the goals. If you would never just go work at a job where you didn't have the salary set and the time frame associated with that. And why would you go through life without having what you wanted to earn and by when? And I loved that. I loved when he talks about the value of a thought. The value of your thought is the value that you give it, not anyone else. You know, you're responsible for those thoughts in your head. And then near the end of the book, they talk about, which again, I love this, that at a certain height, there are no clouds. You know, when you go up in the airplane, you go beyond the clouds. And you know, the clouds in our everyday lives are our obstacles. And once we get above the obstacles, you know, it's a smooth path. But we have to get through the obstacles. And he talks about to have imagination. You know, get rid of the built-in prejudice and have imagination and be creative, and you can overcome obstacles. And we all know when leasing, the more creative we are to get deals done, the more deals get done. And I'm sure that you've seen that in the last, I don't want to say 20 or 30 years that both you and I have been in the business.
And remember, Beth, too, the one-minute manager, the instant millionaire, challenged the young man to have his back up against the wall. And he had him write a check to him for $25,000. And I think everybody on this call could take their checkbooks out right now and write out a check to the person they love the most in this world, their parents, their significant other, some charity, and write a check out for $25,000 that you're going to make good on December 31st of this year. And it's amazing once your back's up against the wall to accomplish something like that. That little push, Beth, is that other call to action. And we have to make those commitments, those concise commitments, and put some money behind them. There's things on the internet right now. One is the social contracts, stickk.com, will allow you to enter into a contract, and you can have a referee and people follow you, whether it's losing weight or it's accomplishing certain tasks for your member, maybe certain number of canvassing tasks you're going to do or whatever it is. You can write a contract to do just about anything, and people will cheer you on and hold you accountable, and you'll give them your credit card and tell them exactly how much to charge if you don't meet your goals every week.
Oh, wow.
And your money will be given to your friends or charity or your enemies. The book also tells us we gotta put a little pressure on ourselves and keep our back up against the wall, or it's too easy for us to slip back into our old habits.
Absolutely. Okay, a couple announcements, and then I have some final questions for Duane. Vegas. Vegas is in 10 days. On Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock, some of you on the call have signed up. We're going to the Zappos corporate headquarters to do the tour. Today's the last day to sign up for that. I'll be providing transportation. We're going to pick everyone up at the convention center and drop them off 2 hours later. And that's on Tuesday. So email me today. Today's the last day to sign up for the Zappos tour. Duane, so you know, we read the Zappos book. That was the January book club selection. The next call is June 23rd. The book is Onward by Howard Schultz, How Starbucks Fought for Its Life Without Losing Its Soul. And on June 30th, the commercial is I'm doing Rookie to Rockstar again. I've got two slots available of the four slots. So if you know anyone that wants to do Rookie to Rockstar, look on the website. And it's 10 days till Vegas. I hope you guys have a great time. So one of my last questions for Duane, and then Josie's going to let me know who won the three books, is you mentioned you have 10 books. They're your foundational books of all time that you go back from time to time. And I'm curious if you could share with us some of those books on those top 10 and why they're on there.
So Beth, one of the things I love to do is I love to watch podcast lectures of some of the great thinkers and business leaders. And John Doerr, who's the founder of Kleinert Perkins, often lectures at the Stanford Business School. It's a huge venture capital firm, one of the companies that helped fund Google and so many other great companies. John lists his 10 book, but there's a fee for it, and that is that he asks everybody to email him and provide them two or three suggestions of their favorite books, and he exchanges his list, a full list of his 10 books. So I'm going to give some secrets today, but if you email me at – my email address is dstiller, my first initial and my last name, all one word, at woolbright.net, and I'd love if you'd share with me two or three of your favorite books, and I will give you my 10 favorite books and my 10 favorite biographies and some of my favorite podcasts and other resources. But that, to answer your question, first of all, I loved 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. Have you had a chance to share that book with the club yet?
We have not. We have not.
Okay. So that's one of my favorites. Another book that I love is a book that was written long ago called The 1 Minute Manager by Ken Blanchard, and it is really it teaches the three elements that you need to know in order to be a great leader and really interact with your staff well, and really it applies not only whether you're a leader in business but a leader within your family and in your community. A great book that is I think still can be found, I mentioned earlier, but was by Mortimer Adler, and it's simply called How to Read a Book. And for those of you that are great lifetime learners, here's a brilliant mind. Mortimer Adler has since passed away, but sharing with everyone his strategies for how to dissect the book and have a conversation with the author. I love reading about people that had great struggles and had everybody believe that they could never accomplish what they had set out to do. And a gentleman by the name of Daniel Boorstin, the former Librarian of Congress, wrote a book that you can still find called The Discoverers. And he looks back at all the great discoveries since, if you will, coming up with the calendar and all the things that those people had to do to overcome. And whenever I'm feeling like nobody is everybody thinks I'm a crazy nut, I go back and reread that book and reminded that how many great thought leaders in the world were looked at in that way. There's a few people, Beth, that I think everybody, particularly in this industry, few biographies that should be read. One, of course, is Ray Kroc, about Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's, and the book Grinding It Out. Ray starts out McDonald's when he's 57 years old. He was a Dixie Cup salesman. So anytime you think you're too old to do some amazing things in this business, Ray's book will remind you that you're never too old. Sam Walton, about Made in America, is a great book to read. Hearing about the founding of Walmart, Sam doesn't start out with Walmart. He starts out with Ben Franklin 5 and 10, and he promptly loses his lease to the building when the landlord won't renew it, instead giving the business to the landlord's sons. Master Builder, the story of Tremble Crowe, particularly Chapter 7 that talks about when Crowe crashes. Of course, we all know it, the Crowe family interests come back remarkably. And Ben Franklin's autobiography, if we needed a great self-help guru and a guy that could accomplish some amazing things in his lifetime, he lays out some of the formulas for how we need to be like him. So those are just a few ideas, but if anybody will email me, Beth, I will share lots of thoughts, and I think you've got some great books onward of just finished. I think everybody's going to enjoy that. Of course, Delivering Happiness, that was a great read. So, you've got a lot of exciting books to – you'll never run out of great books to cover.
Right, that's what I find. I read Grinding It Out from the McDonald's book and the Sam Walton book. I loved those. I haven't read the Tremble Crowe book, but now I'm going to do that. So I appreciate –
it's out of print, so it's going to cost you a little bit of money, but I'll lend you a copy from me.
Okay.
It's 50 or 60 bucks. It's just crazy, so I'll get you.
Wow, really? Okay, yeah. Well, then I won't make that part of the book club. But maybe, a lot of – what I'm finding is of the 50 or 60 people that are on the call, not that many people read the books. They're just using, the call for Cliff Notes, which I'm okay with, but I do want everyone – I'd love to get a few of the people that are not readers on the call – start to read. And I think hearing from you today and knowing your success and what you've been able to achieve, I hope that they're going to that they will listen to you and take your advice along with my advice and start reading and watching a little less TV. I think we could all benefit from that. But let me get, and I'm going to announce the three people who won the book Onward are Katie Welsh, Geneva Henderson, and Danny Diaz. So we will email you guys and let you know how you want the book, if you want it, you know, downloaded to your Kindle, or if you want a hard, I like to read them on the hardback, so I'm old-fashioned that way. But Duane, it has been a super pleasure. Thank you so much for calling in and being on the call and giving us your wisdom and your and recommending this book. I think everyone, a lot of people read it because I told them that they better read it last month, and a lot of people wrote in and told me they read it, which was great. And, you know, good luck in Vegas. I hope Wilbright has a phenomenal week out there. And, again, thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Beth, it's my pleasure, and I thank you for including me. And I look forward, maybe we'll get another chance in a year or so to do this again with you. It's a lot of fun, and I think that this is just a great thing that you're doing for everybody, and it's so kind of you to keep everybody connected and to share these ideas. This is what's going to make our industry stronger, and is because the more that we collaborate, the more that we all grow, the bigger the pie gets for everybody. So thank you, Beth, and it's a great great project you're working on.
Okay, have a great day.
Thanks.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.